From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. A new study finds that French workers are more productive than American workers per hour worked. But in the new study by UBS, the French also spend fewer hours working. What lessons might we draw from this? We're joined by economist Dean Baker, co-founder of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. His books include The End of Loser Liberalism, Making Markets Progressive. Dean Baker, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
So it might be surprising for some to hear that the French are so productive. That's not the cultural stereotype we carry around in our heads. Do you think this survey is correct? Is this borne out by other surveys of productivity?
It is borne out by other surveys. I should point out, when you get to a certain level of measurement, we can't say for sure whether French workers are more productive per hour in the U.S. just because there's a lot of difficulties in measurement. But I think the point that this survey and ones from the OECD and other private analysts have found, OECD Organization of Economic for Economic Cooperation and Development, have found is that French workers on a per hour basis produce the same or more than workers in the United States. And I think the idea that the French are unproductive comes from the fact that they do work many fewer hours. The average work year in France is roughly 1,500 hours as opposed to something like 1,850 in the United States. 4, 5, 6 weeks a year vacation is standard. They have a 35-hour work week. They have paid time off for family leave, for having kids, for sick days. So they work fewer hours, and the story there is that the French have made a decision as a nation that they want to encourage leisure time. So their income, you work fewer hours, you're going to take home less money. Their income on an annual basis is less than the United States, but they work many fewer hours, and basically what they've done is take the benefits of productivity growth in more leisure time rather than income.
Do you think there's any correlation between the fact that the French work fewer hours overall, but during those hours are more productive? Is this a correlation or a causal relationship between those two factors?
Well, I think there's two stories going on here. One is that, as they've become productive, so they've been able to work fewer hours because they are productive. So in that sense, that's causation. Because they're productive, they're working fewer hours. So that's part of the story. But there is another part that I think we're seeing to some extent today, and we'll see where things go going forward. But productivity growth in the United States has been abysmal the last 3 or 4 years. And the reason is that because the economy is creating so few jobs, you have a lot of people that might be fairly highly skilled, often with college degrees, different skills in different areas, who end up taking very low productivity jobs. The jobs report today, more than half the jobs were in retail and restaurant, very low productivity jobs in general. And they do that because they have no alternative. So I think you can get to a situation where when you have sort of bad economic growth, that feeds back and leads to low productivity. And that's certainly what we're seeing in the United States. And we aren't alone in that, by the way. Even France is seeing that to some extent. But that does lower productivity.
I'm speaking with economist Dean Baker. Dean, does the way that employers organize employees' time affect productivity? For example, if it's a workplace that values long hours, that if you're discouraged if you're not there for a long time, rather than a workplace that encourages other measures, does that influence productivity?
Absolutely. So a lot of times, a lot of workplaces, there's an idea, if you aren't there from, whatever hour in the morning, you should be there in the morning, work at 6 at night, then you're not committed to your job. Obviously, we're talking about offices, generally not factory workplaces. And, in other situations, the logic might be, no, we want you to get so much work done. If you could do that in 4 hours and, be out of there, that's great. So there are attitudes like that that can have a very big impact on productivity. There's other things that people sometimes don't think about. I'm often struck, being an economist, I'm nerdy, sort of looks at things like this, but turnover, that has a huge impact. And if you have commitments to your workers and they know that, if they do their job, learn skills that are specific to the company, they could stay there, they could see pay increases through time, they'll have stable employment. That means that you aren't going to have to find a new worker and train them. And there's a fair bit of research showing that even for the least skilled jobs, the retail clerk, I'm not going to beat up on retail clerks, but in the scheme of things, we tend to think of that as a relatively low-skilled jobs, there's substantial cost for employers to replace them. So if you have a workplace where you're saying, okay, we value our workers, we want you to stay with us, we want you to develop new skills, you'll have higher productivity because you won't have to waste all this time constantly replacing workers.
Dean Baker, this would vary from person to person, but is there any kind of general numbers on when productivity drops off. Is it drop off after a certain number of hours are worked? Do we see a drop off in productivity after that?
Well, there has been some analysis of this, and I can't say I'm up to date on it, but you know, clearly after you get to 8 or 9 hours, and I can't give you the specifics because it's been a while since I've read through the literature, but after you get to 8 or 9 hours in a day, you clearly do see a drop-off in productivity at most types of work. So we have situations where people might have to work 10, 11 hours. Odds are those last 2 or 3 hours, they're not very productive. They're largely wasting their time. So in that sense, if you could, you know, restrict the occasions where people really have to work a lot of overtime like that, you're almost certainly getting more productive workers.
And yet there's an incentive to work overtime. So often it's at a higher rate than straight time, sometimes time and a half, sometimes even double time. Does that create an incentive to focus on working more hours and be less productive?
Well, it's interesting. It can create an incentive for the workers, but from the standpoint of the employers, and usually it's the employer's decision, from the standpoint of the workers, the employers, they have an incentive not to have you work overtime. So that's the whole logic of the 40-hour work week. Okay, you're going to work someone 44 hours a week rather than 40. You have to pay them time and a half for those extra 4 hours. So, yeah, from the standpoint of the workers, they might want to work more hours. But it's interesting, one of the differences, you know, because people often say, I've heard this said many times, that people in the United States want to work more hours. That may be true in many cases. But we've really had our thumb on the scale, we meaning the government, and the way we structure benefits. So most importantly, health care benefits have traditionally been a large overhead cost for employers. So an employer that offered health care benefits used to be pretty standard. They pay the whole benefit. It's become increasingly common that they parcel that out, you know, with workers paying a substantial portion and even have sometimes prorating it. But it used to be the case, it was long the case, that was an overhead cost. And certainly if you had a defined benefit pension, that was an overhead cost, meaning that you were incurring pretty much the same cost per worker, whether you had that worker working 35 hours a week or 45 or 50 hours a week. And that often gave incentives an employer to work to work workers more hours rather than divide up work. And this is very clear with the auto industry. The last major strike in the auto industry was over forced overtime. General Motors did not want to give up the option to require workers to work 48 or even more hours a week because they didn't want to have to turn around and hire another worker and incur these large overhead costs.
Dean Baker, are you going to give yourself overtime? You're going to be taking this weekend off.
Wish I could take it off. My boss is an ass. What can I say?
Dean Baker, thanks very much. He's the economist and co-founder of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. His books include The End of Loser Liberalism, Making Markets Progressive. I'm pretty sure he's his own boss.